This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
New edition of Stoppage Time Live, getting ready for the Red Bulls come into town on Saturday. They come in after a 1-1 loss in Charlotte, and as we know by now, Atlanta United comes in after a 6-1 loss to Columbus. Worst loss in club history. I was at training yesterday. We'll talk about some of the things I saw there. I think a definite bump in intensity in the session yesterday. Bodies were flying at various points, which was good to see. So lots of stuff to get into. International duty is now done. Guys are either back in Atlanta, like Miles Robinson, who played on Monday night in Orlando, or in transit. There were a number of players who were involved in games yesterday. So we'll try to get you caught up on all of that as we know and get you ready for the Red Bulls.
Yeah, I feel pretty good now that we've seen how much people were used this week. I think we can make some educated guesses now on availability for Saturday. And Miles, I think, would be maybe a little more of a question mark. I think Giakoumakis only played 15 minutes the other day. I would assume he should be at least 60 minutes fit for Saturday because of that. Luis Abram didn't play a whole lot this week. The match that Peru played, I think it was yesterday. So I would assume he's probably at least 60 minutes fit. Almada, it wasn't even on the team yesterday in the Curaçao match. And I don't think that's for any other reason than just they wanted to get some other guys in there.
There's zero reports in Argentina about any issue. I know we always jump to conclusions, but there were no reports. You got to remember, they took 26 guys to the World Cup.
Right.
And that's factoring in losing a few players like Lo Celso and others who were not part of that World Cup squad, but were part of the group and were part of these games. So you're talking 28 to 30 guys, you know, and two games, and you're trying to get everybody some minutes. And this is what it is. You know, it's fine. I don't think it's anything to be worried about. And it's honestly a good thing for Atlanta United. The bad thing in this regard, though, is just the actual travel routes from Buenos Aires to Atlanta. There's not many of them. Getting him back, I would assume he would be back in town tomorrow morning unless he didn't stay in Buenos Aires last night, which I would expect that he did. There were events going on celebrating this team even after the game last night. So I would assume that he's traveling today and he'll be back. I think that flight typically lands around 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's true. So maybe a kind of a regen-ish day tomorrow for him. I think, again, realistically, 60 to 75 minutes at least fit for Almada.
For sure.
So he's barring something we don't know about, he should be good to go, and that's huge. Etienne and Hernandez, this I think becomes a little more important because Gutman I'm assuming is out. I know the club really hasn't formally announced it, but we've seen the reporting. I'm not sure exactly how much Hernandez played for Venezuela. I did see that Etienne played, I think, 45 minutes for Haiti yesterday.
Played 45 yesterday, played midway through the second half in the first game, but yeah. 45 yesterday for Etienne.
So, you know, Gonzalo Pineda's options could be start Ronald Hernandez at left back, keep Caleb Wiley in where he is or where he has been starting, maybe push Caleb Wiley back, start Etienne, or some combination of the two, or something totally different, maybe involving Tyler Wolf again, I don't know. But it will help if Hernandez and Etienne are at least 60 minutes fit going into this match on Saturday, because you do have that question now that you need to answer about you know, what to do with your left back with Andrew Gutman being out. But for the most part, sounds like the international window went totally fine from a injury standpoint. Nobody was overtaxed. No one was overused. Now you can go into this Red Bull match and have a pretty specific plan of how you're going to deploy your personnel in a match where, as you said, I think both teams are going to be looking for bounce backs. I mean, Red Bull's got a draw at Charlotte, road draw, not bad. Probably they feel okay about that. Maybe they don't. Atlanta United certainly does not feel okay about what they had this past Saturday in Columbus. And I'd just like to see them bounce back. It's not at an urgent point of the season by any stretch, but the vibes were good. And then they got very, very bad. And I want the vibes to be good again, because you're going into a very difficult couple weeks with travel coming up. You know, having to go to Yankee Stadium next week, and then go up to Toronto, which has been a very, very difficult place to play and win over the last couple years. And then later in the month of April, you're going to go to Nashville. That's going to be very, very tough. So home matches this month are important, I think, just in the overall scheme of how things feel as we approach the end of the first quarter of the season. And I would like to see a very positive response this Saturday night.
Yeah, one thing, because I know how these things will go, or could go. I would not say that the vibes are bad at all. I would definitely not say that. The performance in the second half was bad, period. The performance. The vibes, I mean, you lose, nobody's happy on a trip back. The vibes yesterday were not bad by any stretch whatsoever. And that needs to be clarified, because, again, sadly, I know how people will take things, and a loss doesn't equal bad vibes. And, you know, I talked about this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Like, I'll have a better sense of processing Columbus after we see how they start against the Red Bulls, but I have a much better feeling about it after seeing training yesterday. And the Tuesday training sessions are open fully. This was a training session that had a couple of dual purposes. It was about creating some urgency and intensity in the session. The activities were based around that. It was also not a heavy tactical session, because it can't be, because you don't have seven guys that could play a role in the game on the weekend, at eight when you include that Gutman was out. So you have to deal with a couple things this week that are complicated. In terms of bouncing back with intensity and with focus and with dealing with pressure and all those sorts of things, I thought that was really good yesterday. Couple updates on minutes played during the break, just to catch up. Luis Abram played 90 against Germany, but he did not play yesterday against Morocco. So played late last week, but didn't play on Tuesday. And Ronald Hernandez did not play for Venezuela in either game. He was on the bench in game one. Did not suit up for game two. So Ronald Hernandez, I think, becomes a very important factor here when you talk about replacing Andrew Gutman, because if there's anything we saw out of the Columbus game that is a takeaway, and you have to be careful about having a bad 45 minutes where you had limited options in terms of tactics because of availability, and you lost a player who was giving you a lot of tactical flexibility in Andrew Gutman playing against two up top for Columbus, and you didn't have an answer for that. Caleb Wiley wasn't that answer to be a, you know, fullback slash center back. He's a winger slash fullback right now in what he's been doing this year. So asking him to tuck in and be a third center back, he's never really done that. Aiden McFadden's never done that, and he's typically a right-sided player who's really easing into playing on the left this season. did in preseason, did with Atlanta United too on the weekend. Ronald Hernandez is a international caliber fullback, and I think a starting level fullback in this league. I think in the right situation, he would be starting in this league. He's behind a player who is one of the best right backs in the league in Brooks Lennon. Does Ronald or Brooks move over to the left to get Caleb Wiley in a more comfortable spot up higher in the field? Or, like you had mentioned, does Wiley play as a left back and purely a left back, not against two up top? Although the Red Bulls can do that. They have gotten away from it as the year's gone on. They're playing more of a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 right now in their last three games. But do you want to keep Wiley high up the field, play one of your fullbacks on the opposite side? Or do you want to play Wiley as a left back and start Etienne? That's really what it comes down to around Gutman. But in terms of vibe, energy, fight, all those things, it looked good yesterday. It really did. And Caleb Wiley was one of them. There's one sequence that I got on video where I think he knocks three guys over in about a 30-40 second period, which is good to see. That physicality is going to be needed against a Red Bull team that will put you under pressure from the opening minute until the last minute.
So it just kind of closing the loop on the left back discussion, what would you do?
I would move either Hernandez or Lennon over there.
Okay.
And I would keep Wiley up high and have Etienne come off the bench.
Okay.
Without seeing Etienne with Haiti. Now, if I had those game tapes in front of me and I look at it and I'm like, whoa, he is lighting it up right now, then maybe it's a different conversation. Maybe I'm a little tempted to play Wiley as a left back, but I'm more leaning from a defensive standpoint and a solidity standpoint, especially against a pressing team, even though it's going to put them on the opposite side. Brooks Lennon is fine with his left foot. Ronald Hernandez is fine with his left foot. Whichever one makes the better fit for you, I think that works. You're just not going to be able to have that hedge like you did start in Columbus if Red Bulls do start two up top, which, again, they have not since the second game of the season. They played 4-2-2-2 in preseason a lot, and they played it in the first two games. They have pushed an extra midfielder in the last three. Daniel Edelman didn't start the first two. He came in. Christian Caceres has played a very important role for them further up the field, not as a forward, but as a more attack-minded central midfielder who can also drop. I don't think they play 4-2-2-2. I don't think you're going to have the ability to really have that hedge. And I think it's either Hernandez or Lennon moving over to the left. I'd probably go Hernandez to the left.
And then, you know, you'll have, I guess, a couple added options in the midfield, assuming again that Almada is back. But I would assume Hosetu is probably going to be at least 60 minutes fit.
That's the one, I think. Yeah.
And then you obviously have Sada, Chabara, Sosa. So you can do some tweaking in the midfield as well, if you would like.
Yeah, Hosetu was full participant yesterday in training. Didn't have any moments that I saw where he had to come off the field for anything. Looked sharp. They did some. So in the session, it was, again, a lot of focus on intensity and putting yourself in situations where you're going to be under pressure. So small-sided, tight spaces, but lots of bodies in that space. It was an 11v12 drill to finish it up in a very small space. So, I mean, it's collisions. It's to get that intensity going. And then after that, they broke into some smaller groups for more individualized work. And that was fascinating for me to see. Rob Valentino, for example, was working with the attacking players in terms of dealing with a defender on your back, kind of giving you the forearm in the back and keeping your balance and receiving a ball and then receiving it and turning and getting to a shot. Midfielders, and Hosetu was part of it, and he looked just, I mean, as smooth as you can be in terms of first footwork and sliding to keep the shape when a team is bouncing it from left to right. It's just a simple footwork drill. But then kind of a similar thing where you're receiving one touch to turn and then playing a long ball to a target. And Hosetu just silky smooth. So I think he's in a good spot. And my guess is he's back in the starting lineup this week.
And I think that's good news as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Just maybe take a couple questions here on the Twitch pitch as we kind of ping all around here. There have been some reports, and I guess you were at training yesterday, so maybe you can confirm. Did you see much of Ozzy Alonso yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, he was there. He wasn't involved in the session.
Okay, I guess.
He was off to the side. Who started
that
report?
There may have been a report today that he was involved in a little bit more than...
I did not see that. I mean, more than usual is a broad statement when you're seeing one session and then 30 minutes of another one per week. All I've seen from Ozzy so far has been fitness-based work off to the side of the group. He was in the background of one of the activities, I believe with a ball, but it's individual.
Okay.
He wasn't in a session. So yeah, well, he's not ready yet.
I think absence. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
We're not getting into the absinthe, are we? Not yet.
No, not yet. Not yet. But Absinthe wants to know, if you get Alonso back another week or two or three, how much would that potentially help?
It's more in the three to maybe more. It's one thing to keep in mind. I mean, he's going to be competing for time. Again, I think before you had the Hosechu injury, and honestly, before you lost Almada, your midfield wasn't a concern. And it can't become a concern all of a sudden again when it wasn't a problem in the first four games, even if there were narratives trying to make it a problem. I don't know why this keeps coming up. You have a ton of depth in that midfield, and you have a ton of competition. You got guys who do different things. Santiago Sosa played as an eight, who we know he's naturally going to sit a little bit deeper because that's his game, but he was not playing in a double pivot. That was clarified once again yesterday. Before the session, when Gonzalo Pineda was speaking to the media about what the session would be and kind of the session plan for the day. And it's a great part of the Tuesday session where he'll explain each activity, what the progression is, why they're doing it. It's great. He was asked about, was it a double pivot in Columbus? And the answer is no, because the answer's always been no. It's not a double pivot. That's not what Gonzalo wants to play. But Sosa is a more defensively minded eight than Hosechu. Alonso would be also a more defensively minded eight, but he's played more of that mix going forward more in his career. I think he's going to be more comfortable in some of those spots, but he's going to be 12 months off of playing. So it's going to take him some time, not just to be physically available, but to be sharp. And Hosechu has been very, very good as an eight. Sadich has been very good as an eight. Sadich was further up the field in Columbus. It's a different role again because he's playing where Almada typically would play, and he's not as suited to that. It didn't work as well. Imagine that. You're missing one of the best players in the league, and it's not working as well. Amar Sadich is a very nice eight. I think Hosechu's the starter at the eight. I think Ibarra is absolutely the starter at the six. He was really the only bright spot in Columbus for me, like bright spot. He tried to lead by example. He fought. He was trying to inspire. And I love that about his game. And the physicality that he brings is important. So I don't think you can take Almada and Ibarra out of the team when they're healthy. That leaves one spot in the midfield, which is a mix eight, box to box. We can go through all the different terminology, ways of calling it. And it's Hosechu's spot, in my opinion. And Sadich is fighting for it. In terms of being a similar kind of player to Hosechu, Alonso and Sosa give you something different from a defensive standpoint, and Fortune gives you something different from more of an attack-minded standpoint. So that's a lot of bodies for really right now one spot.
So how would you then address it's Coco and Emilio, who are both concerned that there really is no true backup central attacking midfielder to Almada right now?
Can you name me a team in the league that has a true backup for their best player?
Not many, off the top of my head.
I mean, let's just be real. Yeah, it's difficult, but that wasn't the biggest issue to me in Columbus, honestly. The biggest issue to me in that Columbus game, beyond the thing you couldn't control with Gutman being hurt, was the lack of response after the second goal. And the second goal you can't give up early in the second half. I mean, halftime, you've lost Gutman, but the first half, outside of a deflected cross that Morris pounces on, it's an even game. Columbus had 5 shots. Atlanta didn't have any, but it wasn't like Columbus was playing you off the park. It felt very even. Once they scored the second, the game was on its edge, and Columbus kicked you off the edge really fast with the third. And that's what can't happen. And then the goals after that can't happen. None of that really revolves around missing Almada to me. It doesn't. Of course you want your best player. I mean, that's kind of a duh, but you're not going to have a like-for-like replacement. You're not going to have a very easy replacement. But if you miss Almada and it's not international duty and you have everybody else, you have far more solutions to that problem than you did in this case.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just Almada. You know, you could have moved. Okay, you want to get crazy with it. You can move Araujo inside and play him as a 10/second forward. You didn't have Hernandez to give you extra depth on the wing. You didn't have Etienne, who could have moved over to the right side. You could play Etienne as a second forward. He's going to be far more of that than a 10. You didn't have him. A Johnny Fortune, maybe further down the line, gives you more of an attacking presence in that role than Sadich would. Definitely more athleticism, more just more good instincts in the attacking third. I think Fortune is just naturally wired that way. He's not quite ready yet. You know, in another month, he'll be more ready. So, I mean, that's the reality. It's a cap league. You can't just have the heir apparent sitting on your bench who is getting paid a ton of money to do that to be a backup. You don't have that luxury in Major League Soccer, and you never will. We had this conversation about Joseph. We had this conversation about, you got to have a top starter as a backup for Joseph. You can't. You physically can't on the roster. You just can't make it fit, because then you've got to sacrifice in another starting position for a backup. And in a cap league, you got to prioritize. You just can't prioritize on a backup.
I also think, too, the inability of Hosetu to play 90 minutes on Saturday presented an additional problem.
You're right.
In solving that Almada question.
The midfield functions better if he's supporting Sadich in that role.
Yes, yes. But I think you're more dynamic going forward out of the midfield with Sadich Hosetu. In fact, I think maybe we saw a slight glimmer of that at the end of the match, though. Legs were getting very, very heavy at the end of the match too, but it was a convergence of a lot of different issues. And you know, I know some of you are going to say, well, Columbus had guys out too. Yeah, that is absolutely true.
They did.
Absolutely true. Everyone around the league had guys out this weekend. It's absolutely true. The problem is, as I think Jason has outlined pretty correctly, Atlanta United had so many players out in so many key spots that it did truly limit the ability to problem solve, especially when you got behind. And I just want to address
when you lost Gutman too, especially because you didn't have another center back. You had no choice at that point, because, and this is a huge factor in this game, Columbus had the least likely setup of their possibilities. Christian Ramirez hadn't played. He played 45 minutes for their second team in a preseason friendly the week before. Wilfred Nancy said he could probably play 45, maybe up to 60 in this game. Didn't know if he would start. He did, which meant they started 2 up top, which then allowed Matan to be in a very free role, and it was Matan's movement that gave Atlanta the biggest problems for Columbus. Also just dealing with 2 forwards. You had 2 center backs. You didn't have another center back on the bench. You had Nick Firmino, who was a converted attacking midfielder to really an eight right now with Atlanta United too, who was your emergency there. You could have played Santiago Sosa there too, but you didn't have another center back. So you lose Gutman and you're in that spot in the game where you're 1-0 down. You don't know how long Ramirez is going to go, and you really do not have another option to play three center backs to play a line of five. It's not there for you. When you could have said to start the second half, say Andrew Gutman's available, second half, all right, we know that Christian Ramirez isn't playing 45. They don't have another forward to come on that's going to be like that. Gutman, tuck in. We're going to play a line of five early in the second half. We're going to ride this out. We're going to get him off the field, Ramirez, and then we can open up more when they only have one up top. You didn't have that possibility, and you had to really gamble on Wiley playing left back for the first time this season, and he struggled a little bit.
Yeah, and I know there was a tweet after the match that stated that this proves that Atlanta United is not back, and I just I take exception to that. I think that is really, really over amplifying 45 minutes of soccer.
When did 45 minutes become more valuable than 360?
Well, again, I mean, these are narratives that occur. But look, I mean, again, at the same time, I think Atlanta United now has a chance to prove that, you know, that this was an outlier performance and not the start of a trend or anything like that. And it starts on Saturday, and it really continues with some difficult tests coming up. I look at the next three matches. I think it's going to be very, very challenging to earn more than 5 points out of these next three matches. If you do, I'd be ecstatic if you get 5 points out of these next three. That's home Red Bulls, road New York City, road Toronto. And I say that only because Yankee Stadium, you have to feel like anything more than a point out of there is a bonus. Toronto, they're a wild card to me. And I think you can beat Red Bulls, but keep in mind, again, you've only beaten Red Bulls once ever. And you're coming up on, I think, 15 or 16 all-time meetings against Red Bulls now, and you've only beaten them once ever. So if you get 5 points out of the next three, I think you've done well. Is that enough to quiet any doubt about what's come up over the last week? I don't know. I think that's up to our viewers and up to you who are watching.
People have dug in and want to believe whatever side they have decided on, and they really don't want to change from that. And that's just a fact. I'm sorry. It's very frustrating when we talk about this team every day and we talk about how things are evolving or developing or what's different, and doesn't matter to some. And it's just, you know, look, that's the nature, I guess, of fandom these days, because it's really easy to create your echo chamber and live in the echo chamber. Where I kind of stand with this team, and it's the same thing I said Monday night, I want to see how they respond early, and I'm not getting hung up on results right now. I need a better performance on Saturday for sure. That has to happen. I'm going to feel better about a good performance where you lose on an unlucky goal than a bad performance where you win on a lucky goal. I'm going to feel better about the performance side of it if they look the way that they looked in the first four games as opposed to the last game. And I mean, it's more data points from four versus one, but that, again, if you want, you can go back to your echo chamber and feel the way you want to feel. That's completely fine. Get everybody back, with the exception of Gutman. There is a question about what the lineup looks like, and it's a really valid question because you could go a few different directions, and I don't exactly know what the best one will be. We'll see if Gonzalo Pineda gives any hints to that tomorrow. He'll speak to the media. That video will be available at Atlanta United's YouTube page probably later in the afternoon. The Red Bulls are one of the best defensive teams ever in MLS this season, ever. They've only allowed 7 shots on target. They've only scored 4 goals. They haven't looked very good on the attacking end. Christian Caceres has really been their best chance creator out of their group. But this is a team that is, you know exactly what you're going to get. Now, the thing that we saw last year against the Red Bulls at Mercedes-Benz, and the thing that I think, and I'm still kind of researching it to get a little bit better feel of this year's Red Bull team, but I'm leaning in this direction. On the road, they're not quite as wide open with their press. On the road, they're a little more conservative with their press. They're never going to be a low block team. Don't get me mistaken on that. But they're not going to be as daring on the road with their pressing. So that creates some opportunities for Atlanta. Now, look, that might change if they see Caleb Wiley in the back. And they'll remember Caleb Wiley had a tough night at Red Bull Arena last year, late in the game. Made a big mistake, had a factor in that game. They might try to put him under more pressure if he's playing in the back. Fitzronald Hernandez or Brooks Lennon on the opposite side, they might try to press there a little bit more than they would if everybody is fully fit. So there's a lot of chess matches in this game. There's a lot of interesting moves that can be made on either side. But for me, it's down to the level of performance has to be closer to what we saw in the first four games versus the last game. That's the most important thing as you build for an interesting run in the season with more games on the road than you had in the first five. And also, you just want to figure out how you solve that left back issue now without Andrew Gutman. And is it Wiley and Etienne coming in, Wiley dropping? Is it something else? I could be persuaded to go either way right now. So we'll just have to wait and see till that lineup comes out. But I'll have a better sense of everything after the first 15, 20 minutes in this game.
I have a unrelated to MLS question for you as we wrap things up.
Okay.
What were your impressions of the twos on Sunday night?
Not a good start, but when you actually dig into Alan Carlton, Luke Brennan, Nick Firmino landing back in Atlanta, what, about 1 a.m.? And getting home, Carlton and Brennan didn't finish the 90. Firmino did, and he was amazing because he got stronger and better as the night went on. He had a penalty late. The fight back was good. There were some nice moments in it. Johnny Vial was a fun player to watch. I think it's just chemistry. And look, the last week you didn't have in twos training, you didn't have those three guys. You didn't have David Mejia. You didn't have Kofi Tuomasi. At least those five, probably more, definitely more. Centeno was involved in first team training. Probably upwards of seven or eight players that were, because of the seven players away on international duty, that were part of the first team training to be able to give you the bodies to do these activities. So you didn't have them training together as a unit, which I thought showed a little bit early on for the twos. And that's the hardest thing about a second team is chemistry. So give it a little bit of time, but the response was really good. The fight back was good. I think they kind of adjusted to where the game was that New England was playing, a very physical team, a little bit older team, a ton of size with that New England team. But good response. They found a way to get back into the game and have opportunities to force it to the MLS Next Pro shootout, because they have those after draws and regulation. It's a penalty shootout. But you didn't quite get there. This week will be interesting against a team that I think will be a little more similar in terms of ages as the Red Bulls, because they're going to play a lot of young guys, although both teams are going to have some young guys away at the Generation Adidas tournament this weekend. So, good time. It was a good game. It was a very entertaining game back and forth. And I would expect the same this Sunday as Red Bulls 2 comes in.
Absinthe says that they needed you on the call. Absinthe, Jason was on the call. He's doing radio for the twos right now on soccer down here. So keep an eye out for that for the next home match.
Yeah. You can sync that up too. It's easy.
Are you doing the road matches yet, or do you know yet?
We're not traveling. Going to give it a go on the remote side, at least for the first road game, and see. It's really a little bit of variance depending on where they are and what the feed looks like, because some of them are better than others. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to do a lot of the road games, but it might be a little more guessing on the opponent because the camera might be two counties away.
Static.
No, that all part's right. Actually not happening, but it just might be two counties away from the actual field. So I've seen a few of those around the league.
Well, keep an eye out for that. And as far as Saturday night is concerned, we're back on 92.9 The Game, Jason and I. 7 o'clock for the pre-match show. 7:30 will be the kickoff. We'll do the full-time report afterwards. And Jason will have Atlanta Soccer tonight, Monday at 11 p.m. to, or is there Hawks? No, 11 p.m. On Monday night. And then a week from today, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, we're back here on Twitch and the 92.9 The Game Facebook page for another edition of Stoppage Time as we continue to cover the opening months of the MLS season, which to this point have been very good for Atlanta United. They will try to get back on a winning note this Saturday, and we hope we will be able to bring that to you. And for all of you asking on the Twitch pitch, 7:39 will be the actual kickoff time on Saturday. So hopefully that'll help you. And Jason and I will hope to see you at the stadium or on the radio for Atlanta United and New York Red Bulls. Have a great day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.